Exodus chapter 15 and verse 25. Same text as last week. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Last Sabbath morning, we were dealing with the children of Israel and the commencement of their pilgrimage and their journey to the land of promise. They entered in upon a wilderness, and we pointed out that children of Israel actually traveled through five wildernesses before they reached the land of promise. That was our first point last week, Israel and the wilderness. We pointed out that they were travelers, like you and I. This world is a spiritual wilderness to a Christian. There's nothing in this world to satisfy the child of God. And so we, like the children of Israel, we are travelers also. And then there were trials. Children of Israel had no sooner entered the wilderness of Shur, pardon me, when they faced a great trial. In verses 22 and 23, they came to a place after 3 days where there was no water. And then they found water, and it was the waters of Marah. But they were so bitter, they could not drink. And again, it typifies for us our journey through this world. There's nothing but bitterness in the world. There's nothing for the Christian. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. As well as being travelers, and as well as their trials, they were also troubled. They were troubled when they came to the waters of Marah and found that they were bitter. And we see how troubled they became there in verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" We pointed out that the children of Israel, in their pilgrimage through the wilderness, they seemed to be murmurers. The least set back at all, and they murmured. The word murmured means to complain. And here they're complaining to Moses. But the point is, Moses didn't bring them there. The Lord brought them there by the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire by night. He was leading them. The Lord led them there. And there they complained to Moses, and complained to him as if it was his fault. So we have their murmuring. And then you have the man Moses. They turned all their attention on him, and they blamed Moses for bringing them there. That was our first point last week. Israel and the wilderness. We take up the story, and this morning I want to look at Israel and the wonder. The wonder involved in the waters of Marah. The waters were so bitter that the children of Israel could not drink. But the Lord wrought a great wonder and turned the bitter waters into sweet waters. But we see, first of all, what Moses did. We read there in the verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" You'll notice the children of Israel, or Moses didn't answer the children of Israel. He didn't answer them and he didn't argue with them. The next verse says, "And he cried unto the Lord." That's what Moses did. And there you have his supplication. Moses, as we pointed out in this series, is the man described as the man of God. One of the things that made him a man of God was he was a man of prayer. And here we see that when the people murmured against him and there was no water to drink, Moses was a man who knew what to do. He knew what to do. He knew that what he needed to do was to pray. And he cried unto the Lord. You find in chapter 17 and verse 4, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people?" So there they've murmured against him again. But what does Moses do? He prays again. He's a man who knew what to do in difficult situations. You find over in the book of Numbers, in chapter 12, and there in verse 13, verse 13, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." So in every situation, Moses knew what to do. He knew to take the matter to the Lord in prayer. The children of Israel were murmuring against him. They were complaining. They were blaming him for the lack of drinking water. But Moses took the matter to the Lord in prayer. Just as the psalmist said, Psalm 50 and verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." Well, that was Moses' day of trouble. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me." Well, Moses did call upon the Lord in his day of trouble and the Lord did deliver him. We not learn a lesson from Moses? In our times of difficulty, we should know what to do. We should know to take the matter to the Lord in prayer, as Moses did. The Lord Jesus, of course, is one who always knows what to do. And the Lord found himself in a similar situation to Moses. We read in Luke chapter 6, and there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 11, there we read, "And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." They were filled with madness. What did the Lord do? Of course, we know the Lord could have done many a thing. He'd only to speak the word, and he could have smitten all those that were complaining and murmuring and showing their hatred for him. But no, he didn't. The next verse, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray." That's what he did. "And continued all night in prayer to God." He knew what to do. Moses knew what to do. And in our times of difficulty, may we always know what to do. We should know what to do is to take the matter to the Lord in prayer. Moses didn't argue with the people. They murmured against him, they complained, and we simply read, and he cried unto the Lord. He took the matter to the Lord in prayer. Not only do we have the supplication, but we notice also the sight. Look there at the verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord answered him immediately. I think that's evident when we look at the verse. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And so there you have the sight. Now you think of the problem that was facing Moses. A multitude of people were all turned against Moses. They were all murmuring amongst themselves. They were all complaining to Moses. Moses of himself did not have the answer to his problem. So he had to take the problem to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord showed him a tree. Have you ever had such a problem and a difficulty that you've just no answer for? And you perhaps wring your hands and say, well, what am I going to do now? And you have no answer for that problem. But here the Lord answered Moses. We've already said Moses knew what to do. He knew to bring the matter to the Lord in prayer. And no sooner had he prayed than we read the Lord showed him a tree. So in answering his prayer, the Lord showed him where to look for the answer. Just as Hagar. You remember Hagar was cast out and her son, and they had no water. And she cast her son from her because she couldn't bear to see him die of thirst. And we read in Genesis 21, there in Genesis 21, what the Lord did for Hagar. Genesis 21 and verse 15. And the water was spent, there's no water left. The water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. She had a problem that she had no answer to. Now look at verse 19. Verse 19, and God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Now evidently, the well was there all the time. But she didn't see it until the Lord opened her eyes. Now you look at Moses, and the Lord answered the prayer of Moses the Lord opened the eyes of Moses and showed him a tree. The tree was there all the time. But Moses didn't see it. And Moses didn't think of the tree having anything to do with an answer to his problem. And so there, the answer was all the time. And he didn't see it until the Lord opened his eyes. Isn't that so true? The answer to that problem that we have, the answer to that need, is not seen until the Lord opens our eyes. And prior to praying about it, we don't know what we're going to do. And then we pray about it, and the Lord shows us the answer. And perhaps the answer is right before our eyes all the time. But we need the Lord to open our eyes. Why do we always try and solve our problems on our own? Why not take them to the Lord in prayer, as Moses did? What did we read in the book of Proverbs? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what the Lord did for Moses. He directed him. Look, a tree. The tree was the answer to the problem. The tree would sweeten the bitter waters of Marah. As well as the supplication and the sight, we then have the sweetness. The Lord showed him a tree. And we are told, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. As we look at the words that we have here, that the Lord showed Moses a tree. We cannot help but think of another tree. The tree that Peter spoke about in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, there Peter said, who his own self, talking about the Lord, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Or the tree is spoken about again in Acts 5. And there in the verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Or in Acts 13, verse 29, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. And so when we look at the tree that was revealed or shown to Moses, we cannot help but think about that other tree, the tree upon which the Lord Jesus suffered and bled and died. And as Moses and the children of Israel stood there at the bitter waters of Marah, at the beginning of their pilgrim journey to the land of Canaan, the Lord showed them a tree. And when they cast it into the waters were made sweet. Now the tree in Moses' day reminds us of the tree that stood there on Calvary's hill. And the tree in Moses' day sweetened the bitter waters. So when we think of the tree on Calvary and what took place there, does that not sweeten the bitter waters that we find ourselves at from time to time in life. What is it that helps to sweeten the bitter waters of trouble, the bitter waters of sorrow, the bitter waters of disappointment? Why, it's a view of the tree and the cross. We see Christ there on that center tree and know that he's on that tree and he went to that tree for you and me. Does that not help to sweeten the bitter waters of Mara? A view of the cross and a view of Christ reminds us that what was done there was done for us. And that tree and what was accomplished there for us will sweeten the bitter waters of Mara. There's victory in the cross work of Christ. There's victory. And so in this portion of Scripture, we have considered Israel and the wilderness. Their journey to the land of promise would be a wilderness journey. And then we considered Israel and the wonder of the bitter waters been made sweet. And so it is with us, it is a wonder how the cross work of Christ can sweeten our bitter waters in life. That's a great wonder. Now we want to consider, as well as Israel and the wilderness and Israel and the wonder, we see now Israel and the Word. You notice there in the verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And then we read, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And so there is Israel and the Word. The Word of the Lord came to them through Moses. No commands were given to Israel before the Lord saved them out of the hand of the Egyptians. That's an important point. The Lord did not lay down any ordinances or any statutes or any commands to Israel before they were saved out of Egypt. But now, and that's the terminology that you saved out of the hand of the Egyptians. They were saved now. They crossed the Red Sea. It's the third day after crossing the Red Sea, and the Lord sets before them statutes and ordinances and commands. Things have changed, you see. Now they must live in accordance with God's word. They must live now in accordance with his commands. That's what Israel are to do. Isn't that what Moses said? If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes. See, things have changed now. the Lord had bought them out of the land of Egypt. Remember that night of the Passover? They had been bought with blood, the blood of the Lamb. And it was when the night of the Passover that Pharaoh told Israel to get out of the country. Because of the blood. And now the children of Israel had been bought with blood. Now they were to do what God commanded them to do. They were under, as it were, new ownership. Remember reading a story about a man who had got saved. And he belonged to the Salvation Army. And he went to the meeting one night, and it was proposed that the next time they would come to the meeting, they would wear something which indicated they had got saved, so to go out into the open air and witness for the Lord. I know whether someone would put bibs on with a verse of scripture and so forth. So anyway, the meeting came around the next week, and this big man who had got saved, he could neither read nor write, and he didn't know what he was going to do. Because the others had things on their sweaters and things around their neck with verses of scripture. Well, he could neither read nor write. And in the meantime, he had told his wife what they were going to do at the next meeting. And so she got him a sweater. And she wrote something across the chest of the sweater. And whenever he went to the meeting, everybody thought he had the best sweater. Because his wife didn't know what to write either. And so she looked out of the window of her home across the street, a store that had been closed for a number of months had reopened. And on the front window of the store were the words, "Under new ownership." And this man's wife embroidered those words on her husband's sweater. "Under new ownership." He had got saved, and he was now under new ownership. He belonged now to the Lord. If you like, the children of Israel were under new ownership. The Lord had bought them by the blood of the Lamb. Now they belong to Him. We belong to the Lord. We're under new ownership. No, the Lord didn't give us any orders or commands before we were saved. We may have sat in meetings and heard all about the commands of the Lord and to obey them, but what did it mean to us? Nothing at all. But it does now. Because we belong to the Lord. Remember what Paul said? "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You belong to God now. And since we belong to the Lord now, we are to obey His word. We are to obey His commands. That's what the Lord now expected from Israel. So there you have the commandments. The Lord's word came to Israel there at the waters of Marah. I find it interesting that the commands of the Lord were given to Israel at the waters of Marah. Why didn't the Lord wait till a later time? Now what we read, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet there. He made for them a statute. It was there, at the waters of Marah, that he statutes and ordinances and commandments were given. What's significant about the fact that the Lord gave these commands at the waters of Marah? Well, they had been complaining that no water. And it was there at the waters of Marah that the Lord was pleased to sweeten the waters. In other words, they had been complaining and murmuring, and then the Lord heard the prayer of Moses, and the waters were changed. The Lord gave the commands to the children of Israel, the ordinances and the statutes to the children of Israel, at a time when he had their attention. God had Israel's attention at the waters of Marah, because they didn't know where they were going to go to get water. They didn't know what they were going to drink. God had got their attention. And it was while they were at the waters of Marah that the Lord then set before them these commandments and statutes and ordinances. You know, sometimes the Lord has to do that. Sometimes the Lord, if we're not obeying his word, the Lord will do something to get our attention. And when he gets our attention, we then realize we haven't been living as we ought. We haven't been obeying God's word as we ought. And how often has that happened? When someone has been led aside, as we mentioned there the other week, but the lady who got saved here, she'd been diagnosed with leukemia. And she said, "The Lord put me on my back that I might look up." It was only when she had been put on her back that she looked to the Lord for salvation. The Lord had brought her, as it were, to the waters of Marah. And sometimes the Lord brings us to our waters of Marah that he may get our attention, and that we now begin to obey his word and do what he tells us and do what he commands us to do. After all, the Lord did say, "If ye love me, if you love me, keep my commandments." If we're not striving and seeking to keep the Lord's commandments, that reflects on our lack of love for the Lord. It's not the way the Lord expects us to live as we journey through this wilderness. and if we strive to keep His commandments and obey His word, that will prove our love for Him. As well as the commandments, we have the charge. Whenever the commandments were given by Moses, Moses delivered to them a charge. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. This is quite a solemn charge. They could obey the Lord and know the blessing of the Lord, or they could disobey the Lord and suffer the consequences. That's what the Lord's saying. The Lord is saying, I expect you to hear and to heed my word. Look carefully at the words in verse 26. And he said unto, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken, there's the hearing, to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do, hearken and do, that which is right in the sight, and will give ear, there's the hearing again, give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes. That's what the Lord expected Israel to do. They were to hear, give attention to His word, and they were to do His word. Likewise, we also are to give attention to the word, hear the word, and do the word. We looked at that a few months ago, at what James said about hearing and doing. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word deed there may be rendered in his doing. He'll be blessed in his doing. Isn't that what the Lord was teaching Israel at the waters of Marah? Want you to hear and I want you to do. And if you hear my word and you do my word and you obey my commandments, then I'll not bring any diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. So it's quite simple. And that's what the Lord told Israel. Reiterated there in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 in the opening two verses. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There's the hearing again. To observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." That was the word for Israel. And it's the Lord's word for us. You'll notice again in Exodus 15 in the verse 26. "If thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and listen, keep all." Keep all his statutes. Not just some of them. We don't just cast out what we don't like. We don't say, "Oh, that's all right for somebody else." No, no. The Lord expects us to keep all his commandments. And as he said to Israel, he would bless them. Let us keep the Lord's commands and he will bless us. And isn't that what we want? To know the blessing of the Lord. 2 John verse 6, "And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." So you don't only hear, but you do. See, it's throughout Scripture. Hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. That's how we're to live as we go through this pilgrim journey on to the land of promise. We have the commandment, we have the charge, and then we have the caution. As I've already pointed out, the Lord through Moses issued a word of caution. We have read there in Deuteronomy 28 how the Lord said he would bless the people if they obeyed his word. Here we read, same people, children of Israel, "If you keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. These diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians." As already pointed out, there's blessing if we obey the Lord. If we don't obey the Lord, we suffer the consequences. Not necessarily diseases. The other way, you maybe issue a warning to your son or your daughter and say, "Don't go there," or "Don't do that." And they go ahead and do it. And they suffer the consequence, and you say to them, "I told you so. I told you not to go there. I told you not to do that." Well, we're the Lord's children. And the Lord's telling us, "This is what I want you to do. If not," the Lord issues a word of caution. "If not, you'll suffer the consequences." We have these parallels between the children of Israel going to the land of promise, and our journey through this wilderness world as we go towards our land of promise. And this is how the Lord wants us to live and behave as we journey through this life, this wilderness world. wants us to follow him and obey his word. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Dear loving Father and eternal God, we thank thee for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to obey thy word and not be a hearer only, but be a doer. For thy word is a mirror. And we look into the mirror of thy word and we see ourselves. We see all the blemishes. And, O Lord, we need to seek to put those blemishes right and have them removed. Lord, have us to do so and to live by the word, as it were, to live by the book. Bless this word to our hearts. We pray, our God, that for any who are not able to stay for the table, may thy good hand be upon them, and may thy blessing go with them. Return us tonight, Lord, to thy house, to worship thee again. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.